Is this coming through? Shake your head. Yeah, it's coming through. Okay. Yeah, all right. That's good. I saw some no's. Hoping for a miracle. Man, I've got to say that it pumps me up to hear worship like we're worshiping. I don't know what kind of experience you're getting where you're sitting, but what I'm getting where I'm sitting is incredibly encouraging. If I were you, I would fight each other to sit in front of all the other people so that you can hear all this praise moving forward and just slamming you in the back of your head and just pounding through your eardrums. It is so encouraging and so wonderful. So I know that God doesn't hear as we hear. He looks into the heart and he sees our motivations. But from what I'm hearing, is extremely encouraging. And praise God for that. Thanks, Matt, and thanks, guys, for leading worship the way that you're doing. It's a huge, huge benefit to me. I'm going to read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 before we get into our message. Our message today is going to be broken up into three segments. I've had a meeting with one of our elders, and he asked that I share some thoughts about our youth ministry. We celebrated this youth ministry transition last Sunday, and he asked me to share a few thoughts on what would help Hunter in the ministry that he's doing, what we can do as followers of Jesus meeting together on a weekly basis to participate in that ministry. A little bit later on, we're going to have our elders and their families, any of their family members who are still living at home, to come up, because when a person becomes an elder, the entire family has to be committed, don't they? We ask a lot of our shepherds, and we ask a lot of their families without even knowing what we're asking of their families. And we're going to spend a little bit of time at the end of our time together and pray over those families. Because it is a special message, I do want to take a second and I want to share the gospel with everyone that is here today. I want to share that, and I want to just let you know that at the end of our service, we'll be singing a song. And if you feel like you need prayer, or you want to offer up praise to God, or you are ready to commit your life to Jesus in baptism, you'll have that opportunity. So I'm going to read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with Scriptures. The gospel proclaimed by Paul in 1 Corinthians is the message of Jesus Christ. And we have opportunity to respond to that because we can hear the gospel. And then once we hear the gospel, we have no choice but to respond in one way or another, don't we? We can either accept it or we can reject it. And some of us have accepted the gospel and we've proclaimed Jesus as Lord. And we've entered the waters of baptism and been clothed with Jesus Christ. And some of us are still waiting to do that and determining what it is that we believe. But as you sit through today and you listen to the word of God, if that's something that is on your heart, I want you to know that when we sing a song at the end of service, that is an invitation to you to come forward and proclaim your faith. Have your sins washed away in the waters of baptism if you've not yet done that. And it's an invitation to those of us who maybe have set that aside and aren't living under that belief to get back on the right track, to repent, to admit our mistakes, and begin living differently. So if that is something that you feel like you need to do, we will offer up that opportunity for you to do so. I don't know about you, But when I was younger and I heard about elders, I just thought about gray-haired men who sat in an upper room and argued about things. I thought that's what elders were. I knew of elders, but I didn't really know any elders. They were kind of like the principal at school for me. I actually didn't want to know elders because if I thought an elder wanted to talk to me, I figured I must be in trouble, right? And then as I became a teenager in youth group, the elders were the people who, when they came to our Bible class, it meant our youth minister was leaving. That's if an elder walked into our class, we all began to get nervous. Either somebody broke something, or somebody was going to leave our church, and we had lost our youth minister. And that's kind of how I related to elders growing up. But now that I'm in a different stage of life, and I know our elders, I know that they are men who pray diligently for this church and what God is doing. They are men who sit up late at night thinking about the struggles of members of our church, and men who wake up early in the morning praising God for his faithfulness. They are men who deeply care for this congregation, and they're not all about bad news at all. They're all about the good news of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to celebrate the fact that we are going to add to our eldership number today. And we're going to pray over them, and we're going to encourage them, and we're going to live under their shepherding. We'll talk about shepherding in just a little bit, because it was a strange term for me a few years back when our elders decided that they would rather be called shepherds than elders. I was like, that's not right. That's strange. There's one shepherd, and he's the good shepherd. They're not shepherds, but I assure you, they are, and we'll look at some of Paul and Peter's writing in just a second to think through that. As we prepare for that, though, I want to share with you some thoughts that the elders have asked me to share about our youth ministry. I sat down with Hunter on Thursday afternoon, and I sat down and I talked to him about his vision for our youth ministry, and I asked him what some of the things that he would like to share with the congregation were coming from me. And he said, I really want to share with them, again, the words of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. And these are those words. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you're crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all of his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and with all of your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them to your forehead. Write them on the door frames of your houses and your gates. One of the things that Hunter impressed me with is he said, you know, when we read that section of scripture, as we often do when talking about parenting or talking about our children, we skip sometimes the fact that this is a community calling and not an individual calling. This is a Hear, O Israel, not a Hear, O Parents. And if we were to bring it into a New Testament calling, it would be Hear, O Church. Hear, O Church. The church can aid our children by making sure that we remind them of God in every step of their lives. Our parents are not called to do this alone. Our families live together, they work together, they pray together, and they stay together because our families are together. Not as just individual parents and children, but as an entire church community. So the first thing that I wanted to share with you is that this is a community calling. An encouragement that I want to give you, and you've heard me say this before, is that when a young man or young woman has a relationship with five or more faithful adults, the chances of them remaining faithful themselves is astronomically higher than if they just have a relationship with godly parents. Godly parents are great, but a godly church working together is greater. It's greater. And that's something that we can help Hunter with as he embarks in his youth ministry. And here are a couple practical ways that we as a church can walk alongside Hunter. Hunter is having guys and girls Bible studies on Tuesday nights, and he needs host families to offer up their place so that these families can come, and or these young men and young women can come and spend some time in God's Word, and you can sit down with them, and you can encourage them in your faith. Hunter has a lock-in coming up on Labor Day Sunday. And not everybody's fit for a lock-in. I know that full well. But he needs a few adults who'll come and stay up all night with him and the rest of the youth group. So if that's something that you feel like you can do, please do so. He also needs adults to call up our teenagers and take them to lunch or take them to dinner and share their story of faith with them so that their faith can be solidified and their faith can grow. And while it's true that no youth ministry can take the place of godly parenting, we do view youth ministry as a supplement to the way that you are raising your children. All right, so hear that well. Hunter doesn't view himself as an individual taking over for you. He views himself as an individual that's in partnership with you. And so you, as mothers and fathers, have got to be in the Word with your children. You've got to be sharing your faith values. Some of those habits that you have that are spiritual habits that maybe you do in private, he's asking that you do them in public with your children so that they can see your faith in action. Let them serve alongside you as you serve. And remember this, that relationships rely on common ground and common purposes. Some of our students, man, are playing sports, and it's a challenge to get together. And so it's a call to parents to make sure that you're making plans for your students to be with other students in this youth ministry, because that's how friendships are formed. And it doesn't take long for someone to feel alienated from the youth ministry. It doesn't take much for them to have missed a lot of inside jokes and a lot of conversations and a lot of experiences. So you have to be diligent. Hear me now. I'm not saying athletics are an enemy at all. They're a blessing. And you've got to be extra diligent. And if your son and daughter says, I just don't feel like I fit in, get them there regularly and see if that changes. Make it a priority to have your son or daughter participate in this student ministry. So those are just some things that we need to realize and we need to do in support of the youth ministry and in support of Hunter. As I look back over the last 4 to 5 years, I have to think that it's been challenging. That the last 4 or 5 years as a church have been challenging. And nobody has felt more challenged than your shepherds. I cannot tell you how many Wednesday night, Thursday night, Monday night, and Sunday night meetings I've been blessed to be a part of with our elders. I can't tell you how much prayer has been lifted up, how much reading has been done, and how diligently these guys have worked to hear God's vision for our church here at the Columbus Church of Christ. They've worked extremely hard. And one of the things that we have come to realize as I've listened to them talk and work through and struggle through some of these things is that life around us is always changing, even as the message of Jesus Christ is not. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And the pasture that the sheep are feeding from is always shifting. The ways that we have or that we can share the gospel with other people, there are many new ways that we can do that. And many new ways that we should do that. It's the same gospel shared through new avenues. Many of us are enjoying worship together on Facebook when we can't come to church. And that's a huge blessing, and it's a new avenue. Many of us are listening to podcasts. Many of us are meeting in small groups and being more open with each other than we ever have before. We're reaching out to school communities in ways that we haven't done since I've been here. We got a stronger focus on missions, both foreign and local, than we've had. We're looking at new opportunities to travel in the name of Jesus Christ. And so the pasture for us is shifting. And I think about Moses when I think about the way that things shift. I think about the calling of God to Moses as he moved him from Egypt due to some of Moses' bad decisions into a foreign land. And then he interacted with Moses and he brought Moses back to Egypt. And then Moses brought some 2 million people out of Egypt and into the wilderness. And then there was this point when Moses became overwhelmed, didn't he? When Moses began to hear the pleas and the cries and the issues that the followers of God had, and it became too much for him. And he gets a visit from his father-in-law, Jethro. And his father-in-law, Jethro, says, "Moses, you can't do all this on your own. And so you need to appoint other men to handle things." And so when I think about the last 4 to 5 years of our church life, I think that God used the state of our eldership to allow us to make decisions. And now that we are in a more stable place than we've been in 4 to 5 years, I rejoice that God has given us the opportunity to grow our eldership. Because no longer are we moving like crazy from one place to another. I think we've found a pasture and we're beginning to eat and share in that pasture. And now we have time to breathe and we have time to grow. And so I feel great about our church and where we're at. And what I want to talk to you guys about for the next 10 or 12 minutes is I want to talk to you about what it's like to be good sheep. We've talked about what shepherds are over the past few months, but I don't think we've spent a lot of time talking about what a good sheep looks like. And so in introduction to that, I'm going to read Psalm 23. It's a section that you guys are familiar with, but I just want to read it to kind of set the tone so that we can look at a few things together. David's writing Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, our shepherds aren't Jesus. Our shepherds aren't Jesus, but they are the servants of Jesus watching over his sheep. And as his sheep, we have the opportunity to experience life as David did, as a sheep of Jesus. Can you imagine life where even when things seem tumultuous, you have faith that you'll be led to green pasture, that you will be able to lie down, that your cup will overflow, and that goodness and mercy is right at your heels? That's the shepherd that Jesus is to us. And as we live life under these shepherds, we can live the life of a sheep of Jesus, trusting that He is guiding us, that He is providing for us, and that we can expect green pastures. I love this word from Paul. Paul's about to head into persecution. And so he has this meeting just with the elders of the church. He calls them together and he begins to tell them about the hardship that he's going to face. And he tells them, you know what, where I'm going, I'm not going to come back from. And he gives them this last piece of wordage. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. And 1 Peter says this, be shepherds of God's flock that's under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be. It's this call to be a shepherd. And it's this mutual verbiage that Paul puts together as elders and overseers and shepherds. And these guys have done that. And now it's up to us to sit back and be the sheep that we're called to be. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about the character of sheep. All right, if you have domestic sheep, their main defense is coming together. A sheep's main defense is grouping up. When the going gets rough, the sheep get together. And so what I want to challenge you to do as a body of believers that meets here in this building in Columbus is that whenever things appear rough, I want to challenge you to come together under your shepherds and not split apart. Because you know what happens when a sheep gets off by itself? It gets eaten. If you want to get eaten, step away from the sheep. If you want to thrive, come together with the sheep. Join the sheep. If you want to thrive, group up. That's how sheep behaves. Did you know that a sheep can recognize the voice or the face of up to 50 individuals and 50 sheep? They're not a dumb animal. Sheep are not stupid. Their intelligent level is about where a pig is at. All right, so we got the unclean and the clean side by side in their intelligence level. They can recognize the faces of up to 50 people and 50 sheep. And they can recognize the bleeding of their own children out of the bleeding of other sheep. When Jesus says, "My sheep know my voice," his audience knew exactly what he was talking about because sheep recognize the voices of people that they trust. Not only their shepherds, but also that of other sheep. Know the voice of your shepherds. And when I say that, what I mean is really get to know your shepherds. Invite your shepherds to your house for dinner. Don't just depend on them to come and visit you. You visit them. You bring them into your home. You talk to them about your fears and your blessings, your desires and your longings, your spiritual questions and your spiritual knowledge. Learn the voice of your shepherds. And in doing so, you will find comfort. You will find comfort. Did you know that sheep just don't stop producing wool? It just keeps coming and coming and coming. You cut it off and more comes up. As followers of Jesus, we're commanded to bear what? Yeah, starts with F and ends in root, right? We're commanded to bear fruit. A sheep never stops producing wool. And so I want to challenge us together as people under the guidance of our shepherds to be diligent about producing fruit. And sometimes that fruit is repentance. Sometimes we need to admit our mistakes, sometimes privately, sometimes publicly, and we need to make big changes in our lives. And sometimes it's fruit of the Spirit, right? It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Be diligent about producing fruit. Be intentional about working on yourself and your relationship with the Lord. Be diligent about the call to share the gospel with other people. We exist to reflect the glory and love of God in the way that we live our lives. And if we're not sharing Christ with other people, we're missing out on the opportunity to share God's glory. It's a calling that we all have within our different giftedness. Billy shared with us last week from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 13. And I'm going to read a few sections of that as we continue to think about this. Concerning spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be uninformed. All right, and I'm going to skip down from verse 1 down to verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, in all members of the body, though many are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all who were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body doesn't consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And you can keep reading if you would like. What we're being told is that no follower of Jesus is a church all by him or herself. It's Paul's fancy way of saying group up. Can you imagine a foot or an eye or another body part saying, you know what, I don't like the rest of my body, so I'm just going to be in the body, but I'm not going to be part of it. I'm going to see, but just for myself. I'm going to receive images, but I'm not letting it get to the brain because I'm my own self. Can you imagine that? And think about it. That's what happens when we say, I'm going to go to this building and worship God, but I'm not going to be a part of a church. I'm not going to really be part of this church. That's what is going on in somebody's life when they say, I love Christ, but I hate Christians. They're trying to say, I'm an eye by myself. I can see it all, but I'm not letting anybody in on it. And Paul says it just doesn't work that way. Because you're all meant to work together. And without your gift, he says this, when one part of the body suffers, the whole body suffers. The whole body suffers. I cut my foot yesterday. Me and my son went to Bear Creek, and I tried to swing on a rope swing, and the rope broke. He's got a video of it if you want to see it. It's pretty embarrassing. But I hit in shallow water, and when I went to get up, I raked my foot across a really rough rock, and so I've got this big gash that's across my toe right now, and it hurts to walk. And I've got to tell you that when one part of the body suffers, the whole body suffers. It's on my mind constantly. It interferes with my logic, and it interferes with my thoughts. Churches like that. When one part of our body suffers, the whole body suffers. And as sheep who are called to come together, I want to call you to sit with the members of our body who are suffering. Don't just ask our elders to go visit people. You go visit people. You sit with people. You pray with people. If we're sheep, we're together. If we're part of the body, we're together. Let me tell you something. If you're trying to be a part of the body and you're separate, you're not part of the body. You're not part of the body. As followers of Jesus Christ, we're commanded to forgive one another, aren't we? We're told that with the same measurement of judgment, we will be judged. We're told that if we do not forgive other people their wrongdoings, we ourselves won't be forgiven. In order to be a good sheep, you have got to be a merciful sheep. Can you imagine a sheep with a vendetta? I mean, there's a field of sheep, and one of them is just like, I can't imagine what they would do. What would a sheep with a vendetta do to another sheep? Walk up and fluff them? Sheep don't have vendettas. And we're called to be sheep. So if there is a vendetta that you're holding on to, the calling is to go to the person that you're upset with and make peace. And forgive other people. And so as sheep, I want to challenge you to do that so that our elders don't have to step in and make that happen for you. Because their calling is to guide you. It's to guide you to greener pastures. It's to drag you back into safety. It is to always diligently keep watch over you, knowing that you are not their sheep. You're God's sheep. You're Jesus' sheep entrusted into their care. And they dare not mismanage the sheep of Jesus Christ. I want to leave you with this before we get together and pray. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I think Billy said it well last week when he said this is not just for marriage. It's more intended for the church. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all the mysteries of all knowledge and have all the faith so as to move mountains but not love, I'm nothing. If I give away all that I have and I deliver my body up to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. He's going back through the gifts, if you've missed it. He's reflecting back into chapter 12. If I'm a great speaker, if I'm a great giver, if I'm a great sacrificer, none of these things matter if I don't have love. Verse 4, love's patient. Love's kind. It does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. We'll skip to verse 13. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest is what? Love. But wait a minute. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, right? But the greatest of these is what? Is love. If you stand on your faith, and your faith is not grounded in your love, your faith is not pleasing to God. We must be a people who love not only our Lord, but His church. And that's how we will be great sheep. So I want to call the elders and their families, all your families that are living at home with you, I want to call you up because we're going to have a time of prayer over you. And lift you up. Yeah, you can be down here. You may be noticing some new faces as people walk up as elders of our congregation. Some new families. We're excited that the Hillfickers are joining our shepherding crew. We're excited that the Fergusons will be shepherding our church. And we remember that as these men stand up as shepherds, their families are making sacrifices too. So we appreciate them as well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer together. God, we praise you and we thank you for this gift of leadership, this model that you've given us. Father, this example in Jesus Christ as the good shepherd. Father, this writing from David in Psalms 23 about what it likes to be a sheep under this good shepherd, Lord. And we ask that you would indwell these men with your Holy Spirit in big ways. God, I pray that you would give them extra wisdom, extra patience. Father, that you would give them extra energy and extra grace. Lord God, I pray that you would be with their families as their families sacrifice time with them so that they can serve our church well. Father, and I ask that under their tutelage and under their guidance, Lord, that you would grow your kingdom because you are good and because your grace is sufficient. Father, I pray that you would be with us as their sheep. Father, help us not to divide, but to join. Help us not to hold grudges, but to forgive. Help us not to hate, but to love. Help us to bear fruit under their guidance. And help us to know our shepherd's voices. God, we pray and ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And amen. I'd like for you guys to recognize your shepherds and your families that are serving your church today. You can give them a hand if you would like. Thanks, guys. You can have a seat. That was not painful at all, was it? Getting you guys back for last week. So we're blessed to be under such great leadership. And not only these men and their families, but we've had some amazing elders through our history, haven't we? We've been blessed with great leadership for a long time. As we think about that, I want to challenge you to lift up prayers to God, not only for your present elders, but for your past ones, because they have given a lot to us, and they deserve the honor of our respect, our love, and our gratitude. We're about to sing a song, and that invitation that was delivered to you earlier stands available. And I have one more prayer that I'd like to offer before we do. I know that college is starting for many of our college students. Maybe this Wednesday for some of you, maybe tomorrow for some of you. I'm not sure when all the colleges start, but let's go to the Lord and pray over that. God, we're grateful, Lord, for the changing in our lives, for the shifting of seasons, Lord God. It reminds us that we need to turn to you and of your goodness. And as we're grateful for those things, Lord, some of us as parents, Father, are sending our children off, Lord, to live on their own decisions. Lord God, and we pray that you would be with our children, Father, as they experience this new phase of their life or they return to this phase of their life. We pray that you would give them wisdom. Father, keep them from the desperation, Lord, that would make them pursue friendships with people that would not keep them with you. Fill them with your peace, Lord, and with your joy, so that they can be content and find good people and live as a part of your church. Father, may they be our missionaries as they go off to their new schools. And may we receive new students with love, compassion, and joy as you add to our number with new students who are here. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name. All right, together we will stand and we'll sing.